Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Now Trey dribbling. Tricky dribbles. Goes baseline. Passes underneath. DeAndre Bembry jams. What a play by Trey Young. And the Hawks lead 95-88. DeAndre Bembry with the basket. 4:44 remaining. Now down low. Now Trey dribbling. Tricky dribbles. Goes baseline, passes underneath, DeAndre Bembry jams, what a play by Trey Young, and the Hawks lead 95-88. DeAndre Bembry with the basket, 4:44 remaining.
I was super anxious to get going. I think you could tell in the first half, the way I was shooting the ball, I was just trying to get back into a flow, get back into a rhythm, and my teammates just wanted me to continue to be me and slow down, and they knew that I was going to be able to catch fire, and I'm glad I did.
Welcome back, star Trey Young puts on a show for the Atlanta Hawks last night, worthy of an all-star. And welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh on what's going to be a very interesting Wednesday from the Kia Studios. Hawks win 108-100 against San Antonio, one of the highlights of last night, where Trey Young comes back, doesn't play very well at all in the first half. Matter of fact, I think he was 0 for 8 from the floor, and suddenly ends up with 29 points and a one-man attack against San Antonio to lead the Hawks to a victory. Hey, you, what up? How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing this morning? Hope you had a wonderful Tuesday. Hard to believe it's like Wednesday already. But yeah, man, it was great, especially coming off of the news of, you know, John Collins, for them to come out like that, because that was a much needed win off of the bad news that we got yesterday about John Collins being suspended for like 25 games.
Yeah, you're going to be out for 25 games.
25 of them things.
Unpaid suspension for an illegal substance, and we'll certainly get into all of this and what the impact of the Collins suspension will be on this team, because, you know, you're right, Hugh. I mean, we're talking about the second best player on the team and one of the stars of the team, and to be out for 25 games, I guess you got to treat it like an injury. He says he's going to appeal the suspension, but he got popped, and boy, I mean, this is really tough. My understanding is he hasn't addressed the team yet, and he may do that today.
Yeah, probably, you know, a little embarrassed, which is understandable. You talk about a year where, you know, we're sitting here and we're speculating on whether or not the Hawks could potentially be the eighth seed with, you know, the team that they put together, and him and Trey Young being a big part of that. For us to lose him for 25 games, that kind of puts that dream on hold, kind of stymies what we're trying to do a little bit. But at the same time, it gives somebody else an opportunity to come in and step into that role. You know, this is a fluid situation. And, you know, you have to look at it. You know, Cam Reddish might be looking at a situation where, hey, man, I get a chance to play a little bit more. You know, go out there and show him what I could do.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate, you know. But, hey, you got to keep moving. You can't dwell on it. And, you know, he'll address the team, just probably trying to get his affairs in order. And he'll address the team, and you know, they'll take it from there.
Yeah, so bad news for the Atlanta Hawks late yesterday morning, right after our show ended, too, with the news that John Collins was going to be suspended for 25 games. He's not going to be able to come back till Christmas. It'll be December 23rd against Cleveland when he'll be able to get back on the floor. And, of course, we don't know how long it will take him to get back into the flow of things, because he's going to be missing all these games. Now, I guess the good news is he's not injured, so it's not like he has to recover from that. And the good news is he can practice with the team during this time. But, man, this is a big blow to the Hawks. And as you said, Hugh, we'll talk more about, you know, the impact of this to the Atlanta Hawks and who has to step up and, you know, how they deal with this 25-game suspension. But the good news is that Trey Young, boy, was Trey Young magnificent in the second half last night. I mean, Hugh, I can't stress to you, you know, he comes out, he, you know, he's off this ankle. First off, he's back before anybody expects him to be back. Goes out there, was forcing it in the first half. He's 0 for 8 from the floor, and then just destroys San Antonio in the second half. Just puts on a lights-out performance, and you keep wondering what the ceiling for this guy is.
To me, it just screams that, you know, that's what leaders do. You know your team is down. They need to pick me up. You're coming back. Unfortunately for you, unfortunately for the squad, you're getting a guy and you're losing a guy almost simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in and he does what he does. That's a sign of a leader.
And this is what Lloyd Pierce thinks of his leader in Trae Young.
He was so hard on himself because he wasn't scoring. And, I mean, as we see, he can score at any point. But I thought his leadership down the stretch was really the key part of the game. And it's really encouraging to see because we had a lot of guys step up tonight, especially in that first half.
Yeah, and he did, including Jabari Parker, who's another part of this puzzle here in the without John Collins period of time for the Atlanta Hawks. It is the morning show with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. Hope you have a safe drive in on this Wednesday. Mentioned it's going to be a busy show. We have an awful lot of news to cover today. Coming up in less than an hour, at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock, if you're still going to be in your car, head coach Dan Quinn going to join us live. We'll get the very latest on the Falcons, the health of Matt Ryan. Will he be playing? Will he be practicing as we head towards Sunday's showdown down in Stinky Town against the Swampers here? That'll be Dan Quinn at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock this morning. College basketball underway last night. Georgia wins in the debut of Anthony Edwards. This highly touted recruit comes in, lights it up. Georgia pulls away from Western Carolina late to win 91-72 for Tom Crean. And Anthony Edwards living up to a lot of the hype. Struggled a little bit from the floor early in the game, but was able to kind of take control and rest control. And he and Crump, the backcourt of Georgia, looked pretty good last night. So good debut for Georgia. How about Georgia Tech? Georgia Tech were dead in the water at NC State. Comes back in the second half, Hugh, on the road, manages to force overtime, then wins in overtime after being down 16 on the road at NC State.
Kind of what we were talking about the other day, winning cures all ills. You know, Georgia Tech is dealing with a lot of controversy right now. You go out there and get a win like this, it'll, you know, kind of stave off all the questions for at least a couple of days.
Right, and for Georgia Tech, this is a new thing in the ACC. This was a conference game. So at the moment, Georgia Tech is tied for the lead in the ACC. So the ACC wants to, with its new ACC network, do this, have this, you know, opening night thing where you play conference games, and this is a conference game on the road at NC State, and you win and come from behind 16 down. Yeah, that's big for Josh Pastner, really big for Josh Pastner to start the season. But the big news, of course, college basketball last night, Duke beating Kansas. Boy, watching that game, Hugh, Kansas has, I think they had like 27 turnovers or something like that, 30 turnovers.
Yeah, it was a sloppy game.
Man.
I mean, which is expected, you know, first few games of the season. You know, it's expected to be a little sloppy. But, yeah, a lot of turnovers. That was a turnover fest.
And then Kentucky has a new star. We got to get used to these new stars, right? Kentucky has a star, Tyrese Maxey. He was brilliant against Michigan State and Cassius Winston. And Kentucky beats Michigan State, and so number two beat number one. Last night, Kentucky and Duke both winning. It's like, you, Kentucky and Duke win. Okay, same as it ever was.
It was only the first game. I tell you what, I was excited, though, last night because I actually, when Orin the Sigma was tweeting out about the games that were going on, I don't have ESPN3, by the way. I didn't know that you have to pay for that one. ESPN Plus, my bad. The producer's correcting me because he obviously have it because he's a big spender. I don't have that channel, so I didn't get the chance to see the Georgia game. But I did get a chance to see my school play on television last night. They played Wright State. They got beat. But still, you know, for me to come from a small HBCU in Ohio to actually see them on television like that, that was pretty cool. That was really cool to see that last night.
Some of the headlines this morning, of course, the big news that came between those two big basketball games last night was a college football playoff poll came out. Any surprises, Hugh? Ohio State comes in as the number one team in the nation. I think we started to see that trend during our show when we were seeing some of the projections here. So Ohio State, LSU, Alabama, and Penn State, 1 through 4. That leaves Clemson at number 5 and Georgia at number 6. I know that's just first blush here, but were you surprised by any of the rankings of the way the committee chose to put these teams together?
What'd you say now, John?
Were you surprised by any of the rankings, the way the committee put them together?
I was a little bit surprised at Ohio State. I'm not going to lie. I understand it. Alabama being four, I get it. I get it. But this is the first initial ranking. Penn State, Ohio State, two Big Ten schools ranked high. Four SEC schools in the top 10. That was pretty cool. Utah, Oregon. Was a little bit surprised about that. But, yeah, Georgia was about right where we thought they would be. But this is initially the first installment, and this is going to change this weekend. You know, Penn State plays, who was in Minnesota this weekend, they play each other. And that's going to help change the rankings a little bit. This is a fluid situation. This is just to get people to talk about it.
Right.
I mean, and which is understandable. You know, I was just a little bit surprised at that. LSU being where they were ranked at, too, was a little bit surprising. But, hey,
yeah,
it is what it is.
LSU and Alabama 2-3, and that, of course, that means that game is not what – people were getting all hyped up, you know, number one versus number two, Alabama against LSU. But that changed, didn't it? It's now technically number two versus number three. So if they come on the television on Saturday and say number one versus number two, use the AP rankings or the coaches poll rankings, you got to say to them, yeah, that's not really the rankings we use anymore. The rankings we use are the college football playoff rankings. So technically, LSU and Alabama is two versus three. Not splitting hairs, just letting you know. But, yes, it'll obviously work itself out here because LSU plays Alabama on Saturday. In a couple of weeks, Ohio State will play Penn State. Clemson's all miffed off about the fact that they're number five and outside the
top
four.
They haven't played anybody.
And it doesn't matter.
No, and you know, like people are talking about, well, you know, they should have been ranked higher. Okay, you had a cupcake of a schedule going into. You only played one ranked opponent all season long. And that's cool, but when it all shakes out, if you're undefeated, you'll be in strong consideration. All depends on what happens. Like, I would be curious, like, just for chaos, I would love to see Penn State run the table at the end of the season and see what happens with that. I would love to see that and how the committee would handle that.
Yeah, we'll break all this down and see if we – going to have some interesting results here that will define this. For Clemson, it's super simple. If you're a Clemson fan and you're mad, relax. You're good. If you win your next five and you're 13-0, the defending national champions are going to be in the playoff, okay? If you lose, you're going to be out of the playoff, most likely, 95% chance. So just win. Hawks present Love Wins Pride Night by Grady Hospital, presenting that tonight against the Chicago Bulls. Tip-off 7:30. Hawks are going to be honoring the Human Rights Campaign Foundation. Get your tickets at Hawks.com. Hawks and Bulls tonight, back-to-back home games. Our coverage begins at 7 tonight with the pregame show with the real voice of the Hawks, Steve Holman. See if they can build on that big win, comeback win over San Antonio. So what does it mean for the Hawks that John Collins is going to be out for 25 games? Next on The Morning Show after CBS Sports Minute.
You feel for John. He's not in a good place. And so it's how do we help him and how do we help those other guys? Tonight I got to worry about those other guys for a couple hours, and then we get back to John when we're done with tonight's game.
Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce addressing how they deal with the 25-game suspension for star forward John Collins. Welcome back to The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Collins suspended 25 games without pay and is not eligible to return to the team until December 23rd against the Cavaliers. He was caught with a growth hormone called ghrelin, which I was reading about here in the break, just trying to find out some stuff about this ghrelin. Hugh, this obviously is bad enough that he got a 25-game suspension. This is not some, maybe you took something and we're not sure. This sounds like they went, you cheated.
I don't know that for sure. You know, I was talking to Abe in the break about this, and you know, Abe is a big MMA fan, and he was giving me a little background about some of the stuff that MMA fighters have been through by taking supplements over the counter that have gotten them, I forgot what he called it, micro something, picogram. Like, he was hitting me with some words that I ain't never heard of before, picogram. So, you know, there's that. But at the same time, you know, when you're a professional athlete, you have to be careful about some of the things that you're taking. And with so many different supplements out there and so many different things that people are using as supplements, it's on you to try to figure out what you're putting in your body or know what you're putting in your body. You know, it's funny. When things like this happen, you know, it's always the statement is always, hey, it was something I was taking supplements. that is like the generic thing to say. You got to know. Like, you just can't go in the store and start just grabbing stuff, saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and take this. I'm going to tell you, you can't do that. Can't do that.
Right, and that's exactly what Colin said in his defense. He said, you know, he didn't knowingly do this. It wasn't an intentional thing. And he's going to appeal, and he's hoping to get an arbitration, be back earlier than December 23rd. The Grayland, so I'm looking it up, WebMD, which, interestingly enough, you may know this or not know this. If you like WebMD, they're in the same building we are at Colony Square, WebMD, just upstairs. WebMD says Grayland, who is G-H-R-E-L-I-M, which is what he got suspended for. Grayland, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, is an appetite increaser. It is released primarily in the stomach, and it is to signal hunger to the brain. If you have a diet high in protein, suppresses the ghrelin more effectively than a diet high in fat. And so this is about putting weight on, and it makes you hungrier faster. And so while most people want to take supplements to, you know, kill their hunger and decrease weight, John Collins apparently felt like, felt like he needed to put weight on. This is a, you know, you want to eat more when you take this, you know. So, I mean, you know, I mean, so it's interesting to see what, you know, he was trying to do. And if, you know, again, when you're talking about a pro athlete and the amount of energy that they put out every day in practice and in games, and the amount of, you know, trying to just keep your weight up sometimes. Everybody talks about, oh, you know, Zion's going to get too fat or this guy's going to get too heavy. Sometimes these guys struggle with trying to keep weight on, Hugh.
Yeah, I play with a guy like that. Ike Reese was a guy that struggled to keep weight on. He had to eat a lot to help keep weight on. It sounds like John Collins was trying to put some size on. He was sound like he was trying to put on a little bit of muscle mass and just try to keep his weight up by having, you know, always being hungry and things of that nature, so it would make him eat more, so he would consciously always eat and help him keep the weight on. You know, it's unfortunate, you know, that he's going to have to deal with this and, you know, that we're going to have to go through this. But at the same time, you know, he's a grown man making grown man decisions, and, you know, he got popped for it. He's going to move on from this. There's, you know, it's one of those things where he's not the first. Not condoning these actions. I don't want it to sound like that, because I don't want anybody in the car thinking, oh my gosh, Hugh Douglas is condoning cheating. That's not what I'm saying. He's not the first to deal with this. But hopefully he learns from his mistakes and comes back, and he's a better player for this. Smart dude, so I hope he's a better player for this.
Now, here's where I'll defend John Collins. Now, I don't know, Hugh, you have to help me out here, because you're a guy that knows a lot about working out and you understand it. I mean, I don't know that this substance, ghrelin, doesn't exist in certain – it may, for example, you know, exist in certain GNC products. Okay, not GNC, that's unfair to GNC.
Supplements.
Certain supplements. You know, if you go into a GNC or a store and you see these, you know, weight-building supplements where you can take them and, you know, I assume, you know, the shakes and whatnot that'll, you know, that'll allow you to build muscle mass. I see them all the time. I've never taken any of these. If ghrelin exists in one of those and he just simply took too much, that elevated his levels. But isn't it your responsibility? Let's assume that that's the case. Again, I'm spitballing here. I don't have any knowledge of this. That's why I'm asking you or anybody out there that would know this. But if it exists in one of those products, over-the-counter product, and he simply took too much of it, unbeknownst to him, then that got him suspended here. Is that something that you have to be, you know, super conscious of? Did they give you a list and you got to check it against it, or?
Well, I don't know how it works in the NBA. I can tell you how it works in the NFL. If you test positive, they will ask you to bring in everything that you've taken, and they'll test it independently. Or if you want, you even before you take the supplement, you can ask them about it and the NFL about it, and they will tell you whether it's on the banned substance list or anything like that. Because I remember back when I played, what was it? Sudafed. I think it was Sudafed, if I'm not mistaken. That was banned. Sudafed was banned. So they took out all the Sudafed out of the locker room, and you couldn't take it anymore. And if you had any in your body or anything like that, you had to write it down on the list so that they would know. They would know if you'd taken something like that. You just couldn't take it all willy-nilly. You should just go in there and you could grab all the meds and stuff that you want. You can't do that anymore. So I don't know how it works in the NBA, but I'm assuming it's probably the same thing.
Right. Yeah, there's some right trigger there for that you know, have the NBA, you know, send out a list and everybody's got to know. I would think we talked about this in the past, Hugh, with other athletes who've gotten in trouble with this kind of stuff. Why are you not coordinating or talking to, you know, if you as an athlete don't know, isn't it kind of your responsibility to go to your training staff and say, look, this is what I want to take and get it kind of pre-approved from your training staff?
That's
they would know,
that's
right?
What we just kind of said. I just said that. And that's basically what he should have did. And nowadays, John, when you look at that facility that they have over there, I'm pretty sure, because every professional team is doing it, they have certain things that, like protein shakes and things of that nature, that are catered specifically to that athlete to help them achieve whatever goal that they're trying to achieve. I mean, that's just how it is now. I remember going out to Flowery Branch. Use that as an example. They have a supplement room where they have all the pre-approved supplements in there. You go in there and you get a protein shake made specifically for Julio Jones or Devontae Freeman, and they drink that shake to help them achieve whatever it is they're trying to achieve. If you're trying to gain weight, they have a shake that's specifically catered to you. Same thing when I went to the Philadelphia Eagles, saw they had a whole like juice bar where guys, when you walk off the field, they have a cooler where it has a shake with your name on it that's already prepared for you after you get out of practice. So the technology has changed to the point where if John Collins was trying to accomplish gaining weight and keeping his size, I'm pretty sure that they had something that was catered specifically for that.
Well, John's got a lot of explaining to do to his teammates, because this will slow the growth of the team this year. Now, they have other options. Obviously, Jabari Parker is going to figure into this. Prominently, he started last night. They're going to ask more of Bruno Fernando, as you said, Hugh Cam Reddish, and they're just going to have to go forward. But, boy, losing John Collins for 25 games, if this was going to be a team that made a run at 500 at the playoffs, this is a big blow. It's, you know, it's one thing if you have an injury, and another if it's sort of self-inflicted in this regard, as, you know, it involves the chemistry of a really young team. So, yeah, this is going to be tough for him. He's going to have to explain himself.
Regardless, to explain himself to who? His teammates aren't going to question him about this. They're not going to be in the locker room talking about, oh, you played us. They ain't going to do that. It's not going to be any of that. He's going to be like, hey, man, you know, it'll probably be some jokes being told, like, damn, dog, what the hell are you doing? Or something like that. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of that, like, damn, homie, you did gain, like, you did pick up a few pounds over the last couple of weeks. Nobody's going to be persecuting him, talking about you let us down or anything like that. That's something that he's going to have to deal with through from the media and maybe his fan base, but not his teammates. Not his teammates. So the biggest thing that he's going to have to do is just, you know, get through this and, you know, figure out how to put on weight without taking whatever he was taking.
Well, 1-0 in the first of 25 without John Collins last night, as Trae Young had a monster second half in leading the Hawks to a victory over San Antonio. Can they make it 2-0 as they host the Bulls tonight at State Farm Arena? Our coverage begins at 7, and, of course, tip at 7:30. Tickets available at Hawks.com. When we get back in a moment, Abe, the producer, the morning menu, 3 questions of the day. We'll also ask you on a very busy Wednesday, coming up in 28 minutes, head coach Dan Quinn joins us live with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Going to be a busy Wednesday in about 18, 19 minutes. Head coach Dan Quinn will join us live. We'll talk about Falcons and Saints on Hate Week. But right now, the morning menu, 3 questions from Abe, the producer, that he asked us, and we put up on our Twitter in a few minutes at 99 The Game, and you can answer as well. Morning, Abe.
What's going on, guys? How are y'all?
Good.
I have no need for GHRP2 myself. I'm hungry enough as it is.
You don't need
that. I have no problem putting weight on.
Ghrelin in your life?
It's the opposite inverse effect. They have like a...
It could be ghrelin, by the way.
GHRP1, maybe, that takes weight off. I could use that, I guess.
That's leptin, according to the research I'm doing this morning.
The putting the weight leptin on, I'm all set on that. Bring John Collins. I'll go to restaurants with him. I'll show him how to eat and put some weight on. I'll get some weight on him real quick. He'll come back after these 25 games looking like a member of the Clumps. I mean, I'll get him big. Okay, question number one here. The morning menu. Speaking of food, your appetizer round. What team in the college football playoffs rankings last night, and we're just going to keep it to the top 10, which team in the rankings top 10 last night do you feel was most incorrectly slotted? Real quick to run down them again. 1, Ohio State. 2, LSU. 3, Alabama. 4, Penn State. 5, Clemson. 6, UGA. 7, Oregon. 8, Utah. 9, Oklahoma. 10, Florida. Who was most incorrectly slotted?
To me, I think LSU should have been number one. I understand why the committee put Ohio State number one based on their, what they've seen this year. But to me, the committee likes to say that it values the schedule and your performance, home, road, against ranked teams and things of that nature, and less about the margin of victory in the eye test. To me, this says that they looked at the margin of victory in the eye test and said, Ohio State's margin of victory in eye test is better than LSU's, therefore they're number one because LSU's beaten three top 10 teams. So I would say, to me, LSU should have been number one over Ohio State.
I don't have a problem with the list as constructed. I mean, when you think about it, you can make an argument for every team that was slotted where they're slotted at. You can make an argument where they could be a little higher, a little lower. I don't have a problem with it. And initially, it's the first rollout of the poll. I mean, the rankings. This is going to change next week because of cannibalism. Because a lot of these teams are going to play each other and they're going to beat each other up. So it's going to change. So I don't have a problem with it right now.
The problem I have here, Hugh, is that they're setting a precedent and they're not sticking to it. They set a precedent by ranking UGA 6 over every other one-loss team. And that precedent is they're valuing the wins that UGA has over Florida, over Notre Dame, as better than the wins that an Oregon has, a Utah has, Oklahoma has, which I understand. The problem with that is they did not use that same mindset when ranking Alabama and Penn State.
I agree.
Penn State very, very clearly has better wins on their record than Alabama does.
I agree.
But that's where you get into the discussion that you brought up, John. Are you looking at margin of victory? Which, by the way, they're not supposed to be looking up style points. Not supposed to be part of the
thing. It's not supposed to be.
But the human factor, you can't avoid it. So if you're going to ask me, and I guess I asked myself, I would have switched Penn State and Alabama. I think at this point, Penn State's resume is very clearly above Alabama's. But, Hugh, against your point, where they're actually slated right now doesn't matter because, like you said, four of these teams over the rest of the season are going to be playing each other. UGA will have a say as well, et cetera. But the precedent they're setting about what they're giving importance to, the wins or the losses, is going to change from now to the end of the season. I have a problem with that. You should be ranking them with the same mindset as you're going at the end of the season.
But it changes every year. We sat here. I remember the first year that we did this. And we talked about what they said they weren't going to do and how they were going to judge teams and things of that nature. Every year, it has changed to fit the scenario.
That's right. That's right.
And that's...
Shouldn't happen.
But it does.
But it does.
It does. So that's why I don't get all excited about the rankings. I like to see what's going to... Like, the biggest thing that they haven't had to deal with since we've been doing it this way is pandemonium. When you have certain teams that potentially could
There's
go through the
very,
season
There's a very, very high risk of that this year.
It is, but...
Because you could have a Penn State or Ohio State with one loss.
Yes.
Or an Alabama LSU with one loss, neither being a conference champ, both having lost to teams in the top five, and then you got to start weighing other factors.
Yeah,
and it gets real dicey.
But think about it like this, though. It's been like that potentially for the last couple of years that could have been a disaster. And it's always
That's the other part I love is it does always play itself
and it
out.
Always
to the point where there's no real argument.
And then we're to the point where we've had this is the one thing that I know for sure. Conference champion weighs heavily.
Yes.
And who is it? The Pac-12? Who doesn't have a conference champion?
The Big 12, but they
kind of have one, but still.
Well, no, they actually have one.
Okay, fine. But that way.
They used to not have one.
But now. but that helped them out before. It's gonna work itself out again this year, I believe.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see. College basketball started last night, and with that, we had 131 games or something, some ridiculous number, and every school that you can think of was in action and got me thinking some of the great and terrible school names and mascots that they have. And so the question I'm going to ask you guys here in the main course of the morning menu, what do you feel is the dumbest college sports mascot or nickname? Which one do you dislike the most?
The Shocker.
Wichita State?
The Wheat Shocker.
He is a little weird, I have to admit. But I think the dumbest mascot is that stupid Syracuse orange.
Wheat Shocker.
That runs around, that little ball of Syracuse orange.
feel like it's just the Orange Bowl mascot, which they're never going to see. So,
the shocker.
I'm sorry, Stanford.
Oh, the tree? Come on.
It's stupid.
You're named after a tree. It's funny.
It's stupid. You're named after a tree. Yeah, but if you're funny, then like, go like Western Kentucky Hilltopper style funny. And just be a big blob of something. I don't like the tree. I'm not trees.
Well, they were the trees for 2 hours,
Shocker.
That was their nickname. That's why this way. But the tree was, when they dropped the name Indians, they allowed the students to vote for a nickname. The students voted for the Stanford Trees. The administration let that stay for high. 2 hours. 2 hours, and they overdid the student vote and said, no, we're going to be our school color, not the bird. We're the Stanford Cardinal, the color.
Yeah, they were never the bird. They were never plural birds.
Right.
Now if you voted, they'd just be like Tree McTreeface. That's how all these online votes now go. McTreeface. Remember they named the boat Bodie McBoatface, and they named the train McTrainface.
Right.
Come on.
Hey, there's some great ones out there, too. You should ask the best ones. Long Beach State's baseball team has its own nickname, the Dirtbags.
Yeah.
They're great.
There's a couple good ones out there. Okay, if money was not a concern, final question here. Money's not a concern. What's your favorite leisurely activity? Hopefully something active, Hugh.
If money was not a concern.
Yeah.
I probably do a lot of fishing.
Fishing?
Like deep sea fishing.
Oh, deep sea fishing's fun.
But I would, I'm talking about on the back of the boat where you got to actually get, a workout in.
You get that chair where they strap you in, and you got the guy holding the back pad of your belt so you can pull in a marlin or something. Little tuna. You make some real money if you catch a big tuna,
too. Yeah, that's they're expensive.
I would play high stakes poker.
High stakes. If money's not an option, that's a pretty good one. Especially, I didn't think about poker. That's a good one. I do like snow skiing. Obviously, money is an option, is a concern there. It's a problem.
I'd be playing in the main event. I'd be playing in all those
main events.
Rollers.
Not even that. That's only $10,000.
I know. Well, yeah, that's still a lot for me.
I'm just saying. There's a lot higher stakes poker you can get.
I understand that. I mean, I'd be playing in all those big high rollers.
Poker's fun.
Head coach Dan Quinn, live with us next. It is Hate Week. Falcons and Saints. Coming up on Sunday, what does the coach say as the second half of the season starts? We'll talk to him about the status of the quarterback, too. It's next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.